supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum, so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran. This is today's special and the topic is A Message to Save the World. Today, Thursday, is the 24th of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran. We'll look at chapter 2, verse 28. Let's listen to it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. رب اغفر لي ولوالدي ولمن دخل بيتي مؤمنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات ولا تزد الظالمين إلا تبارا.
My Lord, forgive me and my parents and whoever enters my house a believer and the believing men and believing women, and do not increase the wrongdoers except in destruction.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The story of Prophet Noah possesses copious reflection in Arabic and Persian literature, and particular emphasis has been accorded to the tempest and his ark as a means of deliverance for the believers. It is also worthy of note that his name designates that he invoked God Almighty and lamented for many years so that his people might be impressed and believe in Allah the Almighty. It is narrated from Noble Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, as saying, "My Ahlul Bayt are like Noah's ark. Whoever embarks it will find salvation, and whoever design it will be destroyed."
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn. It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
We listen to a message to save the world. The supreme sacrifice of Imam al-Hussein needs to be remembered as a continuous struggle for the freedom of humankind from the clutches of oppression, and not an event that builds walls between Shia and Sunnis. Imam al-Hussein knew that the Umayyads were not known to show mercy to those who had challenged them. He knew that if the rulers had no regard for human life, they would brutalize anyone they considered their enemy. He knew his end before taking the epic decision to challenge the despotic regime of Syria in the 7th century. It was to stand for the principles of justice, freedom, and human dignity. It was to challenge the notion that Islam cannot be turned into a political dynasty. It was to stand for the equality of all before the divine law. It was for accountability and decency in public life.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the main messages of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam for the whole world. Now we find that the movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam teaches us that for any culture not to be denigrated in the world and not to be despised by others, I mean, especially those people who never believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people are expected to stick to the teachings of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and to know that if the criterion of inviting people to do good and prohibiting others, I mean, people from committing the unfavorable, prohibiting people from committing the vices, if we establish, I mean, if we establish it as a cultural yardstick, we would find that our community, our human community, would excel. At the same time, we find that there are many claimants of being Muslim, or there are many claimants who boast of themselves as being true Muslims. Yet we find that in the real world and in the real arena, it comes to people to distinguish who is a really faithful person and who is not a really faithful person. Now we find that in all human communities, we find that there are some, especially elite people, the elite class of community. One of the important points in the time of Imam al-Hussein was that, unfortunately, a large number of those people who were regarded as the elites of the Kufan, of the Kufan community, or the elites of the Muslim community of that day, they fell short of appreciating the beauty and the significance of the historic movement of Imam al-Husseinism. They failed to join him. And since they failed to join him at the right time after the Ashura episode, many of them started some revolts. They commenced some revolts against the Umayyad rule. However, all of them were fiercely defeated. Why? Because of many parameters, because of lack of an appropriate leadership, because they never acted, in the proper time. Had all other people, had all those people who appreciated the beauty and the significance of the movement of Imam al-Hussein salam, joined him at the right time, the whole course of history would certainly be very much different from the reality that it was. Thank you very much.
Standing here alone on a land so far from home, a place where angels cry, while innocent children die. Hussein has said goodbye, praying some of them survive the torture and the heat. They can't bear to watch him leave. They cry out, Hussein, ya Hussein.
Muharram, a continuous mission against injustice. Dear brothers and sisters, it's most important today to tell the people about the sacrifice of Imam al-Hussein and his mission, which will let them realize that the people who every now and then commit barbaric acts of terrorism and call themselves Muslims are just terrorists. And the majority of the world's Muslims think these acts as going against all the ideals and principles of Islam. While addressing the enemy in Karbala, the Imam said, if you do not have religion, at least be a free man in your life of this world. It's a wonderful saying, because a free man can differentiate between good and evil more easily than a biased one. Dear listeners of today's special from IRIB English Radio, I think it's a nice time to listen to a short part of a sermon of Lady Zainab in the court of Yazid. She said, why shouldn't Yazid be spiteful against us? It is he who looks at us with hostility. You say with perfect intrepidity and without imagining that you are committing a sin, I wish that my ancestors who were killed in Badr had been present here today. Then you strike Imam al-Hussein in his teeth with a stick in your hand. Why shouldn't you be like this, although you have done what you wanted to do and have pulled out the roots of piety and virtue? You have shed the blood of the sons of Holy Prophet. However, you shall go before Allah soon. You shall meet your ancestors and shall also be taken to their place. At that time, you will wish that you had been blind and dumb and had not said that it was a day of rejoicing for your ancestors.
So Imam Hussein alayhi salam teaches us to start this journey of reform. How? By being indifferent to this dunya. And that's the true meaning of zuhd. And then once you kick out this dunya from your heart, you will truly experience the joys of life. You will experience the worship of Allah, the love of Allah. You will experience family values. The love of your family. Loving your family is part of iman. In many of our families, honestly, you don't find that genuine love. We're just stuck with each other. Siblings stuck with each other. Spouses stuck with each other. Many of our homes are like a prison. We hate them. There's a negative environment at home. We're not comfortable with one another. We don't exchange genuine love with one another. Imam Hussein alayhi salam teaches us to free this heart for genuine love. We know that family values are important, but when it comes to the application, many of us struggle. Many of us have family issues. Take this message from Karbala after the 10th of Muharram and the 11th of Muharram. I will fix my home. If I'm not on good terms with my spouse, I will come to good terms. I will increase the love for my family. Imam Hussein alayhi salam beautifully teaches us to express our love to family members.
Allahumma ij'al mahya ya mahya mahya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati wa mamati مماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Dear friend, that was all for today's special. May all the praises and thanks be to Allah, to whom belongs all that is in heavens and in the earth. May Allah bless all of you. Be with us for another episode of today's special, inshallah. Thank you and fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Salam, and on the eve of the martyrdom anniversary of the survivor of the tragedy of Karbala, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him, we present you a wise statement from him. Refrain from lying in all things, big or small, in seriousness or in jest. For when one starts lying in petty matters, soon he will have the audacity to lie in important matters.
with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Now, some individuals criticize certain, you know, mourning rituals and rites. Yes, some definitely need to be criticized and critiqued and further analyzed. But there are some mourning customs that even the Imams, alayhim as-salam, promoted. And one of those things that the Imams promoted was the reciting of poetry for the tragedy of Imam al-Hussein alayhim as-salam. And we have traditions that hopefully inshallah we'll either mention it or will be mentioned either in this month of Muharram or in another one in the future, that reciting poetry with the intention of making others cry is of great benefit. It's something that is wanted. It is something that, you know, is desirable. So in this tradition, it is reported that one of the companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam by the name of Abu Harun, and it is apparent that from this hadith that he was a poet, a person who would recite poetry for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. For the narration goes that this companion, al-Makfuf, entered into a room where Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was present. So as he entered into the room, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, you know, obviously greeting him and so on and so forth, asked him that, you know, recite for me, you know, recite for me poetry. So the companion al-Makfuf recited some poetry. And the Imam says, don't recite poetry like this. Don't, because he probably just recited normal poetry. He says, don't recite poetry like this. Recite for me poetry the way you recite over the grave of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Now, it is not mentioned in the hadith whether this was during the month of Muharram or outside of the month of Muharram. You know, this is something to understand, that if it's outside of the month of Muharram, then obviously it is something that we can see that this reciting of poetry for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is recommended at all times, because this is not mentioned in the tradition. So the Imam then says to this companion, recite for me like you recite over the grave of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And the companion Abu Makfuf does so. He says, so I recited for the Imam alayhi salam again, but obviously in the manner that I would recite over the grave of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. So here in this tradition we see that the reciting of poetry, the remembering of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, you know, is something that is recommended, and even the Imams alayhi salam would, you know, recommend the companions to do it, and even ask the companions to do it in their presence and for them specifically. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to truly remember Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and to make us of the companions of Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wal-Zaman because of our remembrance of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Inshallah, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am. your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra. بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum the dear listeners of this program. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. At first, we are going to talk about a famous reciter of the Holy Quran, and then we are going to listen to a recitation of that famous Qari. And then Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Besides these segments, we are going to have some other Quranic parts which is going to be presented to you. So stay with us. On June 18th, 2015, Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, said, I suggest that the Honorable Qurra, Quranic experts and reciters of the Holy Quran, pay attention to this point. First, they should review in their minds the ayahs that they want to recite. They should deliberate on them and truly absorb the depth of these concepts in their hearts and their belief. They should recite the Holy Quran with this moral and with such preparation. If they do so, their recitation will deeply influence their audience. Today we are going to talk about Sheikh Muhammad Al-Laythi. He was born in 1952 in a rural area of Sharqiyah Governorate in Egypt, and he raised in a Quranic family. His father, Muhammad Abul Ala, was the only person in the village who managed to memorize the entire Holy Quran. Therefore, Muhammad began to memorize the Holy Quran under the guidance of his father, and with the help of Allah, he managed to memorize the entire Quran at the age of 3. Muhammad's increasingly interest in Quran recitation helped him master the techniques of reciting the Holy Quran under the care of his father at the age of 6, and at the age of 15, he became famous throughout the entire Sharqiyah Governorate. In 1984, he entered Egyptian radio, and from then on, he became famous throughout Egypt. He traveled to many countries, including India, Pakistan, South Africa, Germany, and America. And in 2000, he traveled to Iran along with Sheikh Ahmad Nu'ayna, And 6 years later, in 2006, he passed away. May Allah bless his soul. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of Sheikh Muhammad Al-Laythi reciting Surah to Yusuf, verses 7 to 10, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. Verily, in Joseph and his brethren, there were lessons for those who ask. When they said, "Truly, Joseph and his brother are loved more by our father than we, but we are a strong group. Really, our father is in plain error. Kill Joseph, or cast him out to some other land, so that the favor of your father may be given to you alone, and after that you will be righteous folk." One from among them said, "Don't kill Joseph, but if you must do something, throw him down to the bottom of a well. He will be picked up by some caravan of travelers."
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان في يوسف اقتلوا يوسف أو اطرحوه أرضا يخل لكم وجه أبيكم وتكونوا من بعدي قوما صالحين.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Sheikh Muhammad Al-Laythi reciting Surah to Yusuf, verses 7 to 10. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes, sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. About Sheikh Muhammad Al-Laythi, he has his own style of recitation. Nevertheless, In his recitations, he uses the styles of various other famous reciters, such as Abdul Basit, such as Mustafa Ismail, and Kamil Yusuf al-Bahdimi, and other reciters. And this is what makes his recitation unique.
And of course, I think he's a follower of Muhammad Rifat Sistai.
Yes, that's right. In some recitations, we see that he imitates the style of Sheikh Muhammad Rifat, and he's very good at it. Okay, now in this surah, verse 7, Laqada, the fathas of Sheikh Muhammad al-Laythi, the fathas that have tarqiq, okay, they are pronounced very well. And how do we know that the fatha is pronounced well? We have to compare it to the fatha which has tafkhim. If there is a big difference, it means that the fatha is pronounced correctly. Of course, you should not exaggerate the fatha with tarqiq. For example, if you say laqad, let you open your mouth too much, that's incorrect. Laqad,
laqad.
Laqad. The qaf has tafkhim while the lam has tarqiq. And Sheikh Muhammad al-Laythi, he shows the difference between a fatha with tarqiq, which is the lam, and a fatha with tafkhim, which is the qaf.
That is a sign of a fasaha, I think.
Exactly. This is called fasaha. This is one of the aspects of fasaha, is the fatha. There are other aspects as well. For example, pronouncing the letters from the correct place of articulation. Observing the characteristics of the letters. These are all part of fasaha and tajweed. But fasaha is mostly the fatha. Laqada. We have a dal which is sakin. The dal has to be pronounced with qalqala, just like Muhammad al-Laythi pronounced it with qalqala. لقد كان في يوسف وإخوته. We have a kha with a sukoon. It means that we have the second lowest level of tafkhim, the fourth level of tafkhim, which is relatively low. And what should we do? We should pronounce the kha without changing the shape of the lips. The sound should only come from the throat. And that's it. Ikhwatun. The lips are in a neutral position. You shouldn't say ikhwatun.
You're not going around the lips.
If you purse the lips as if you want to say dhamma or waw al-mad, that's incorrect. You shouldn't do that. Ikhwatihi ayatul lisailin. Sailin is a matul muttasil.
A conjunct man.
Yes, and Sheikh Muhammad al-Laythi lengthens it to five vowel counts. Let me just go over some other rules of tajweed quickly.
Good idea.
Uqtulu. Here we have a hamzatul wasl, followed by a qaf with a sukun, followed by a ta with a dhamma. So how do we know how we must pronounce this hamzatul wasl? We have to look at the first letter that is mutaharrik, that has a vowel after the hamzatul wasl. If it has a dhamma, we have to pronounce the hamzatul wasl with a dhamma, like in this case. If it has a fatha or kasra, we have to pronounce it with a kasra.
And here, this is ta, that actually is the first mutaharrik letter.
Yes, and it's called the aynul fi'l, the ayn of fi'l. Okay. Arub. We have a ra with a sukoon preceded by a letter with a fatha. We have to pronounce the ra with tafkhim, with thickness and without qalqala.
Okay, thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website. That is parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن
It's night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic law.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats the enchanted whisper.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. And our guest speaker, as always, Sheikh Javid. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program again.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Well, the concept and the topic that we are going to delve into related to the Islamic laws issued by Ayatollah Sistani is mourning. And that is the mourning for Imam Hussein and Muharram. And this is actually a good platform for me and the whole crew here from the IRIB English Radio to express our condolences to everybody who's listening to us, to our dear audiences. And inshallah, we hope that this program would come to good use. Let's take a listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Sistani and then we'll be back.
The Grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of five, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hausa lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzuma Sabzawari and Sharh Ishraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazwini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in Fiqh and Usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Sheikh Javid, we are talking about the laws related to mourning to commemorate Imam Hussein's martyrdom during Muharram, according to Ayatollah Sistani. Let me start off this episode with this question. Is it permissible to borrow money to hold mourning ceremonies or to give a vows and nazr or to go to Karbala, for example, based on the money you earn? Some people are so much fond of the mourning ceremonies for Imam Hussein or the pure household of the Holy Prophet. All of the imams, they are so much interested in fact, giving out, food, for example, for such ceremonies. That's why, even if they don't have the money, they are short of the money, they go to the bank to take out some loans or to borrow some money from their friends and family members to, in fact, fulfill their desires to mourn for Imam Hussein. Is it permissible to do such a thing, even if one is doubting or maybe unable to repay their debts?
Well, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. According to Ayatollah Sistani, it is permissible to borrow money to hold a mourning ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
To lament the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him and his family. And it's also permissible to borrow money to give food to the mourners, to give, let's say, to render some services on the day of Ashura, okay? Like, for example, giving water to people who are thirsty. And such practices are allowed even if one has to borrow money from other people. But we should note that in some cases it may not be permissible when, for example, when a person is already indebted to other people, when someone is unable to repay it, because repaying the loan is obligatory. And you have to return the money, the thing that you have borrowed, to the person to your creditor.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know for sure that you are not going to be able to return the money or to pay the money on time, then you should not borrow such money in the first place, because it will lead to degradation, it will lead to humiliation, and it will lead to some kind of, let's say, bad reputation, okay? Because if you don't pay the money, other people, the creditor, first of all, will probably object to you. Your reputation as a good person, as an honorable person, will be damaged in mm-hmm. the vicinity you live. So it's very much important for a person to maintain his reputation as a good person, as an honest person.
Mm-hmm.
And if this reputation is damaged, then of course he will cease to be a credible person in the eye of people. He will cease to be an honest person, a faithful person, you know, a trustworthy person. Mm-hmm. So if you lose your trust in the community where you live,
yes.
You'll not be able to interact with other people. So these, these consequences have to be taken into consideration. Generally speaking, it is permissible to borrow money for such purposes.
Uh-huh, I see. Okay. Let's take a short break and we'll be back continuing our discussion on the laws according to Ayatollah Sistani related to mourning and lamentation for Imam Hussein's martyrdom anniversary.
Flowing in my veins, who are you?
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. We are still talking about the laws issued by Ayatollah Sistani about mourning and azadari and lamentation for Imam Hussein's martyrdom anniversary. Well, during Muharram or even some special occasions like Ashura and Tasua. Well, Sheikh Javid, we all know that, you know, some of the minaras and the towers of the mosques, in fact, you know, through the loudspeakers or using the loudspeakers, you know, play the recitation of the Holy Quran before azan, the call to prayer. And also for mourning ceremonies, they also play or they turn on their loudspeakers there on their mosque buildings or towers and minaras, and they play it out to the neighbor, whatever goes on inside the mosque. I'm talking about the mourning ceremonies, all right?
Yeah.
And this they do because of the season of the commemoration of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. And we have sometimes complaints from the neighborhood, and the neighborhood will grumble and complain about the loud noise, all right, coming out of these loud speakers. So although the sound is loud, it's noisy and it's troublesome and a nuisance to the neighborhood, the people who play such, you know, mourning through the loudspeakers are very much adamant to carry out what they do. What is the Islamic law? What is the ruling according to Ayatollah Sistani about this?
Well, we know that in some Sunni-dominated or Sunni-predominantly populated, let's say, countries, or even in non-Muslim countries, there are people who do not believe in such practices. They do not believe in commemorating the event of Ashura. They live in the immediate neighborhood of the Husayniyas or the places where the mourning ceremonies are held. And of course, according to Ayatollah Sistani, it is not permissible to hurt or to create disturbances for such people who do not, let's say, who are not Shias, okay? Okay, if you are living in a country where, or in a city or in a neighborhood where all the people are Shia, they somehow they are in terms with the situation, and they know that Azadari is will continue for 10 days during the month. Of course, they are not going to object, and they will not consider it as a kind of disturbance. But in many other countries, like, for example, the predominantly Sunni-populated countries or in non-Muslim countries, we must be very careful not to disturb them and not to create a problem for those people. We must turn in the loudspeakers and listen to the lecturer or to the eulogists within the mosque, without allowing the sound, the voice, and the sound to trouble other people in the neighborhood. Okay, because it will have a negative impact. And instead of serving that purpose, the purpose of preaching Islam, commemorating Islam, and inviting other people to goodness and to justice, we might even, cause them to distance themselves from the religion.
What about the recitation of the Quran?
The same is the case with the recitation. We must be careful. Where, it depends from place to place, from town to town, if it were in Iran, no one is going to object to you, okay? Or if it were, let's say, even in some cities of Pakistan, since I have been there, no one is going to object to you, because everyone plays the Quran using loudspeakers on their minarets.
I see. Thank you very much, Javed. Once again, I use this opportunity to express our heartfelt condolences to our dear audiences, and may God accept all of our mourning and azadari for Imam Hussein and their pure household. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of new land.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's